Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends. It's Monday night, and that's your Raising Expectations night. And I'm Pastor Joe, and this is my wife, Melba, and we welcome you to be with us again. We've had the privilege of sharing with you for over 5 years now. So thanks for being with us tonight. And you know, God's doing some great things in the lives of people, and we've been listening and sharing and hearing from you on many of these things. And so we want you to know, in case you don't know, maybe if you're tuning in tonight, we're all believers. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe he died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. And by realizing that and accepting him as Savior, we punch in on a life that's already planned for us, that God has planned in wonderful ways. And we punch in on the fact that someday we're going to be together with those we love and with Jesus in heaven. And for example, I'm looking forward to seeing Charlie Kirk again someday when he's there, because that's where he is right now. And it's going to be a very special time. Thanks for joining us tonight. We've got a great time tonight, as you've seen on the show already. You've been following some of the PR that we put up. I'm going to introduce you again to our team so you do know, in case you're calling in for the first time or looking in. This is my wife, Melba. Many of you have met her and know her. Now, we've been married 5 weeks, so time flies when you're having a wonderful time. It's great to be in this situation tonight, so we're glad that we're with you. And also, we have on the West Coast, we have with us Dr. Paul Hall, who will be out of the show tonight. He's on some business, but he's there in north of Santa Barbara, and he is a retired pastor. He is a counselor. He's a speaker. He's a great, great man of God and been my friend 55 years. So we look forward to having him back with us next week, and we pray everything goes well as he's working on some things tonight. So, hey, we missed you, Paul. And if you're tuned in or going to catch us later, we'll see you next week. Also, if we go all the way to the East Coast, the south side of the East Coast, which would be in the state of Georgia, in Dalton, Georgia. How did I do on that, Ron? Pretty good, huh? And so you find two of our favorite people there, and you find Steph and Dr. Craig Thayer right there in Dalton, Georgia. And Steph is right there. Steph is a wonderful wife, mother. She is a specialist. She knows health things. She is a counselor with people. She has a wonderful Live Your Life Out Loud website. Just for example, very quickly with our engineer TJ, who we thank God for so much, TJ Newsom, he can bring this up. Our website, we'll invite you to go with us. It's bbsradio.com/raising-expectations. And it looks like this. And if you'll go there and kind of keep that on the side of the show, you can scroll down and read about the folks on the team. We're going to be doing some upgrades on some of the things about them. All of our shows there are listed for you. You can come back and see the shows anytime you want. And anybody that you know can tune in there to bbsradio.com/raising-expectations. Our books and things are on there. My book, Legitimate Faith, is there. Tank's book, I'm going to be taking you to that in just a moment, in fact. But Stephanie is a very, very special lady. She is a blessing and an example that is very, very wonderful. This couple, they're just incredible. That's all. I get fumbled up trying to say all the good things about them for time's sake, but we are just blessed to know them, love to have them as in family, and it's so great to be together. And that guy on her left, that's Dr. Tanka, and that is her husband right there. And she did such a good job on him. I mean, he's just come out great. It took a little work, but she really did a good job. Tanka is one of the greatest men of God and brothers in Christ you'll ever meet. He is a surgeon, a trauma surgeon. He knows how to cover all those things. They've both done missionary work together, helping people in the field of medicine and health and other things and pray. They're prayer warriors. And many of you already know that. They know how to pray and to lift you up to the Lord. And Tank is also an author now. His name is Craig, but we call him Tank. Tank is 6 foot a lot. So I think 6'6". Is that right? Did I nail that one? I think so. In any event, former water polo. He's a coach. Their sons are great water polo athletes. It's amazing. Have they won anything this past week? They win something every week, Steph. How are they doing?
This last week,
yeah.
You know, you can't win them all, which is a good lesson. You don't always win.
They gave somebody a break. That's good.
Life lessons in sports.
Giving, you shall receive. That's right. That's good. All right. And Tank is a coach, also of water polo. And so he is a book, an author. His book is called Saved. You'll find it on our website. Saved is listed there, and it talks about his life, the miracles and what God's done in his life, the way God works in the ordinary things of life. You'll just be amazed. And I know you'll be blessed. So get a copy of that book, Saved, by Dr. Craig Thayer, and you want to get a copy of that. So if we just join together and come from the East to West Coast to the East Coast back to the Central America, which is the great state of Texas, and there you will find, if you land somewhere around Dallas, if you luck out and land in McKinney, you will find one of our favorite pastors in the world, Pastor Ron Greer, located in McKinney, right there. And this is Ron. There he is. You'll find him. Ron is a great brother in Christ. He's a man who's done so many things in his life, serving the Lord, finding out, learning, growing, and sharing everything God's given him in those areas. So the men of God, working with men in the mirror there in northern, I think it's in Florida, northern Florida, but he covers the Texas area because he said Yahoo the best when they signed up. So they gave him northern central Texas, and he covers that area and helps men to know God's doing things in your life, and there's a reason. And he always can give them strength and help by sharing the word of God, and he lives by example. Good to see you, Ron. How you doing?
Doing good. I had the biggest hats with no horse, so they gave me the job. So
they gave me. I like it. I like
all
it.
All hat, no horse.
Well, the hat'll do. We're glad you got it. Amen. All right. Well, we are all here together tonight, and we've got a really special guest for you tonight. You all know Janet Price, who is the president of Golden State Republican Women here in California. And it's just been exciting. Janet was a good friend of mine all the way back in high school. And in the words of the great Indian nations, that was many moons ago, long time. And she is doing a wonderful job working with thousands of ladies and helping them to see the conservative values and things in our lives that give us life and what it means. She loves the Lord Jesus Christ like we do, and it's evidenced in her life. And her daughter, got a wonderful daughter, does the same thing. So you'll know Janet with the Golden State Republican Women. And she's got some things that have been happening recently. And so I said, Janet, let's just have you share with us and let's talk about it. And folks, if you're visiting in for the first time tonight, most of you probably are not, but like you share back with me, it's great to know that we just kind of have a time together where we enjoy being a family. We talk about what's going on. We talk about certain subjects. Feel free to dial in. If you're dialing in on the show right now, you're watching us, we're talking to you live. You know, check in with us, drop a note on there and let us know how you're doing. And at the same time, we just talk about things like we would around the table over a cup of coffee about what's going on. So, Janet, we're going to give you the famous around the world, the applause around the world, which is even better than the right hand of fellowship. What is that thing, Ron? The round of applause. Okay, Janet, you are in on the round of applause. Welcome tonight. What's happening, Janet?
Such an honor. I've just been enjoying all these introductions, Joe.
Oh, they're great people, aren't they? I just love these people.
Well,
Oh.
we should take over and we should introduce Joe. We should have a takeover on these.
Yeah.
Ah,
Uh-oh.
good.
We're
Yes, have
choosing
it be a coup.
the
It's
right to
a coup.
the east, south, and then northwest of Georgia.
Yeah.
In
West of Georgia. Yeah. West.
Northwest of
All
Georgia.
Westerns.
Yeah. I don't think I have been with you guys since we lost Charlie. I don't believe I have seen you since. And I don't mean to bring down all the frivolity because this was a great introduction with all of you, but it hit us all so very, very hard. But I think that there was a great, great purpose to his life, as we're all seeing this. I sent you a picture, Joe, of when I had him speak at my I was at the Airtel Hotel and he was speaking to my club, and he flew into, I don't know where he was living at the time, but he flew into LAX, and I was at the Airtel in Van Nuys, and he and the driver got in this awful, awful traffic jam on the 405, as those of us who know the 405 know it can happen. So she was calling all the time saying, "We're here, we're this far, and we're so sorry." And it took them a long time to get there, but that was fine. He arrived just very poised and unruffled and congenial and gave us all the time in the world. Anyway, his driver and his videographer that day was Erica. She had just come to work for TPUSA. And so those of us who got to talk to her just fell in love. I mean, obviously we weren't the only ones, but they were just, they looked, I mean, they weren't even dating at the time, but when they left, we went, "Oh my gosh, that's the perfect couple. That is just the perfect couple." But I took a picture that day and I sent it to Joe because the other lady who was with me in that picture was also a schoolmate of ours, right, Joe?
Rosie, right,
Yeah,
Rosie.
Rosie. So it was a real privilege, but I heard a pastor talk about him, and I hope you don't mind if I just share what this pastor was saying. Oh, and by the way, someone from my group brought me this from his memorial. They drove all the way from Big Bear to the memorial and were texting from there. It was just, apparently it was unbelievable. If you're there, what, even on TV, it was amazing. But what this pastor was sharing about Charlie, it's okay, this, you scientists can correct me if I'm wrong here, but a supernova is the biggest explosion that humans have ever seen. Each blast is the extremely bright, super powerful explosion of a star. One type of supernova is caused by the last hurrah of a dying massive star. This happens when a star is at least five times the mass of our sun, and it goes out with a fantastic bang. And after that supernova explosion happens, the light from it is seen for decades. It goes on and on and on. And the pastor was saying, I think Charlie Kirk was a supernova.
That's
What
pretty
an
good.
amazing, it's like bang. And his life was short, and I think he lived with a sense of urgency. Did you all notice that? He kept going so fast in his 31 years. And I think God was kind of telling him, time is short, make use of it. I'm going to use you. So it has really, really impacted our country and these young people and the universities just when we need it. Just when we need it. I love to hear stories about churches overflowing now. I have a gal on my team who's Jewish, and she was always, I don't know why she always felt separate from us Christians, but we didn't make her feel that way. Something in her life made her feel separate from us. So we would talk, and I started bringing her in and having her do the Shabbat prayers on Friday night so she felt she could be a part of it. So when Charlie died, and I saw her the next week, I think, she said, Jan, I just want you to know that I went to temple for the first time in 30 years. And she said, I sat there and prayed for everybody I hadn't prayed for 30 years. So when we went to a party a couple of weeks ago, and she gave me, let me see if you can see it, this cross. And I thought, to come from someone who is so deeply Jewish and anti-Christian, it seemed, she is just melting. So if that's happening with her, can you imagine? Multiply it by millions that is happening in our country and really all over the world. He'd just been to Korea before this happened. So I think we've witnessed someone quite special in our lifetimes. And I'm very, very grateful.
And the impact of that is continuing to go on and on. You were sharing about what we read about from the University of California at Berserkly or Berkeley, and
No, you were right the first time.
really, well, almost missed that.
Oh, yes. And
Well,
my,
California.
yeah.
well, Berkeley's kind of always been that way. But my friend, who is the president of Tulare and Woodlake, do you guys all know where Woodlake is? And okay, she has her Republican club that belongs to my organization up there. And the day that this was happening, she was texting us very excitedly saying, my grandkids are going to TPUSA at Berkeley.
Yeah.
We went, oh, well, she didn't even sense anything. So we weren't going to say anything to her. And then, of course, all of this was happening on TV. So I wrote her and I said, Barbara, are your grandkids okay? And she said, yeah, they're inside. They're having a best time. The kids were keeping this from her. They were protecting their grandmother. So when I texted her this week and said, what was the story when the grandkids came home? What did they say? She said, oh, no, they just arrived early. They went inside and we're going, yeah, that's okay. We'll just keep it like that. But I think they didn't want to worry her. But no, this is the warfare. Don't you sense we are in a time, historical time of huge warfare. It's well beyond politics. And I feel privileged to being alive at this time, that we can actually be part of it. We can see what is happening. And I kind of feel like it was in the Revolutionary War, the Civil War. And I mean, people didn't realize they were in the middle of amazing history. But I feel that now, and I'm sure you guys do too. It's kind of a privilege to be used as a chess piece on God's board.
You know, I feel like for probably the last 4 or 5 years, I was very much in a preparation season, which, by the way, I did not enjoy. I do not like standing still or, you know, rest in the Lord. I mean, I like resting in Him, but it's not my nature. I'm a doer. It's very hard. Yes. Yes, Rod. I know. It was not fun. But I have felt a shift Probably the last 9 or 6 months of that, it's a go time, a response time, and the level of warfare is something I've never experienced. It's so different, and it's coming from so many angles. And at the same time, I see such a rising up of warriors for the Lord and really going to battle in prayer, spending time with the Holy Spirit in your prayer closet, in your word. Like, really, people are not looking for scripture light or church light. So I do agree with you that it's such an honor of a time to be alive. And yet, I find myself in such a place of reliance on the Lord because there's so much I'm experiencing that I actually don't know how to battle against, right? So it's this constant, Lord, show me how. What do you want me to know about this, right? And being submissive is a hard position to be in.
That's the best position, right?
It is, but it's comfortable.
When the Lord is all you have, you know the Lord is all you need.
Correct. Yes.
That's it. So it's been a stripping. I mean, my life has been a stripping, stripping, stripping. And I always rely on this scripture from Joel. He will restore the years the locust has eaten.
Yes.
So I keep reminding him of that. Lord,
Right.
would you go back to Joel? And also, I say these are the two I hang on to. Joel is one of them, but the other is I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I feel we are all going to see great things happen in our lifetimes because it has felt like it has speeded up, right? And you can feel the warfare becoming more intense. And I just pray God's hand, like a dome, over America and over our president and over our Congress and over California and all of the states, because they're all targets from Satan. They are targets.
Well,
Absolutely.
whenever Charlie was killed, I didn't, like I said last week, I didn't know who he was. But I told Joe, I said, something great is going to happen because of his death.
Yes.
He had so many followers and so many groups all through the states and probably internationally. But after the week after all of his funerals and services and memorials, all you heard was churches were like you said, Janet, churches are filling up. People are coming to Christ. People are the students, which is our generation, obviously our children are our next generation, but for those students that are studying now are recognizing who God is and who what their relationship should be with Christ. And to me, that is part of, like you said, Stat, that speed, urgency of
Urgency, yes.
we're all experiencing that.
So maybe that's the speeding up, like you were saying, Steph. You were
Yeah.
saying about there's a sense of speeding up. Now, when you said you were in a period 4 years, you said
Yeah,
you were in a
about.
period, was it a forced time when you had to rest?
Oh, yes.
Well, sort of.
Why not?
There was a lot of resistance.
So it wasn't anything you chose, it was thrust upon you.
Correct.
Okay. Can tell there's a story there. Guys are all laughing.
I was foolish enough on a vision board to put up a picture of being pruned. Be very careful what you pray and ask the Lord to do, because he was like, oh, well, you have some significant limbs. I'm just gonna, and it was very painful. And now I'm grateful being on the other side of it, but I did not enjoy the process.
Now you got to start praying for more patience.
Yeah.
That's a hard, yeah, you start praying for that, boy, watch out. Things are going to
Well,
come, right?
Yes.
I'm of the mind that you're right about something happening, something going on, and there's like a movement. You have these significant points in history where you see the church population explodes. After 9/11, churches exploded. After the Vietnam, during the Vietnam War, toward the end there, population churches exploded. And I think that I think what people miss is just how much impact TPUSA, Charlie Kirk and those guys had over the last probably what 12 years. People really don't get the impact. And I think part of that was their technique and what and their focus and their goal. It's, you look at where we are as a nation and campuses and also the rest of the country, and you go, okay, if you go back to the late 50s, early 60s, you can see where things changed and that brought us to where we were, right? Primarily, that focus of the Marxist communists back in the 50s and 60s were on young people, knowing all along that 10, 15 years down the line, they're gonna have this whole crop of young Marxist-minded individuals. Now, but now they're adults, they're politicians, judges, on and on. Somehow Charlie Kirk got that message, I believe, from the Lord back when he was 18 or 19, 20 years old, and started
He never went
then.
to college.
No. He focused on young people, high schoolers and college students, knowing that that's where our sort of saving the country is gonna happen. It wasn't gonna happen with the adults. So you have this movement starting, and this thing swells and swelling to a point. And I believe one of the reasons that he was so controversial and hated so much is because he was so effective in what he was doing. And there are people out here and powers that be who recognize the impact and power of Charlie Kirk. And his TPS USA's impact on electing Donald Trump, the long shot is never going to happen. They were absolutely significant in that taking place.
Yes, they
That
were.
set off alarm bells. So at the same time, what we have now is our ministry is doing research. We partner with another couple of organizations. Barner's done research. At one point, you had young men, ages 18 to 24, and then up to like 35, leaving the church in droves. And the largest group in America is called the Nuns, the fastest growing group, non-affiliated Christians. And then you had a split between young women and young men, where more young women attended church than men. Well, in the last, 3 years, that has flipped. You now have an influx of young men, 18 to 24 is one group, and also the next group is like 28 to 30, 32, that are coming back to church in droves. And I go back to, what is it that drove young men to join the military after 9/11? What is it about young men that forced them to join and get into these causes? All of a sudden, they see the crisis taking place.
That's
They
right.
see a cause they can fight for and they can actually engage in. And now they have this inspiration from Charlie Kirk and a bunch of other young people. So now you have these young men that are flocking back to the church, which sets up the next critical situation we're in. Churches aren't ready for them.
That's
Yeah,
right.
I'm
Yeah,
waiting for you to say that.
Ron, you hit something there, Ron, when you said when
Terry
he
Duvall.
got that through to him. Go ahead, Tank. I'm sorry.
No, this is Ron's dead on. I was waiting for him to say that the church needs to carry the ball, and so far they haven't. You see that in the United Methodist Church splitting. It's all about love. No, it's not. There's truth here too. So you got to carry both, right? So, but they're not ready to carry the ball.
But you know
And
where we're.
that's why that's why young men left, because it lacked a purpose, it lacked clarity, it lacked a cause, and now all of a sudden, everything they went out here looking for, they found it as empty. They're going
Go
back. But you're
ahead,
right.
Steph.
Yeah,
Go ahead,
sorry.
Steph. I got a thought, but you go ahead.
Oh, okay. So I was going to say that, they're looking for meat. They want depth to their study. My kids are finding it in small groups, honestly, with some parents leading youngers, and they
Right.
all gather, and then they just kind of mentor it at a high level. But the second thing I was going to say was, I don't remember which military academy it was, but Charlie Kirk wanted to go to one of them, and that was it. And he did not get in.
Was
And so
it
just,
West Point?
I don't know if it was West Point or Naval. I don't remember. It was one of them.
I think it was West Point. But anyway, either way.
Not a naval, but go ahead.
Okay.
And he did not get in. And sometimes we think, gosh, my dream, that's it. We have no idea what's on the other side, because if he would have gotten in to West Point, he wouldn't have been driven to do any of the things that he did.
Exactly right.
So,
Amen. Exactly. When you said that, and Ron, you made a point that just jumped out and got me too. You said Charlie Kirk discovered something. Of course, God gave that to him, like you were saying, that he made the reality of the ultimate, eternal, uncompromisable importance of knowing Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He did die for us. He's shown up all through history. He used to go into history like we love to do, Ron, and he point these out. And remember some of these discussions. All of a sudden, like Ron was saying, I think they woke up and said, wait a minute. Like you said, yeah, this is drastic what's going on, but I'm not alone. I have an answer. And even they began to think it quietly. But then later on, boy, like you said, they were saying it right out loud in front of some of these characters. And they were saying they believed who Jesus Christ was. I'm my age. 77 going on 55. Did my nose hit the screen yet? But anyway, Pinocchio here. I'm finding what all of you are saying to just myself. There's a boldness now. I really don't care if people don't like this or that. Years ago was the junior high bit. We've got to do whatever we need so that everybody will like us the way they like us. I'm so tired. I'm never going to be liked by everybody. Who cares? All that matters is God loves me enough to send Christ to die for me. And I'm going to love, I'm not going to love judgmentally. I don't have to. Like Ron, you just nailed it. He'd get up there, he'd just sit there chewing on something or getting a cold. And he would say back to these people, really, is that true? Well, what about this? I mean, hey, he just loves me. It's it. It's there. It reminds me of that Scottish pastor. I sent it out to somebody. He says, oh, the guy on the cross in the middle. Well, what'd you do to get? I don't know.
Alistair Begg.
Alistair Begg.
I don't know.
Alistair Begg.
Alistair Begg. I met
Alistair
him
Begg.
in Dallas once, and he was great. We don't know, but we do know, and the power is there, and that's the
Well,
key.
I'll go back to it, that's one of that's what appealed to this young crowd that Charlie and those guys, because there's like eight of them who are influencers now. What appealed to the younger crowd was the fact, first of all, there's this boldness and that a confidence in what you can't look at it and not get to the point of realizing that, wait a minute, that makes sense. Everything I'm told over here are just slogans and just words that people say, and there's no depth, no back to it. Charlie Kirk's and UPSU's essay from the beginning was, you present facts and truth to people in a non-confrontational way and listen to their opinions, and then basically challenge them or tear it down nicely, but you don't back down, and that appealed to, again, these young men, and if that's what keep appealing to them, if all of a sudden they're tired of all the toxic masculinity, they're tired about the accusations, they're tired of all the fluff, tired of all the madness, and they're going, give me something that is concrete, that is clear, that is worth dying for and living for and dying for. That's where they are.
Did you all watch his service? 5 hours.
Pieces of it.
Did you see it?
Yes. I saw parts of it, not the whole 5 hours.
I was riveted. I taped the whole thing. And I have never seen anything like this since television was created. When it was black and white, and the Indian head came on at 11 o'clock at night. Okay. It shows you what I remember.
Steph, that was
Invented
that TV
television.
wasn't cable back then, Steph. It just had three channels, Okay, anyway, go ahead.
But
Oh,
I
sorry.
couldn't believe that I was seeing a
Yes.
whole presidential cabinet
Yes.
and many more people that I would never think
Yes.
would go out and give a testimony
Yes.
in the name of Jesus Christ.
How many times do
Tucker
you hear the
Carlson?
gospel there?
Well, this is one of the things that I was going to share was after. This was after Charlie's death, but it wasn't because of that. I have a family member that's end of life, and they claimed to be a believer plus some extra things. And they made a comment that they didn't want a spiritual, like one of the things hospice does is they have a spiritual person that will come out. And they said, I don't want that. And they said, I don't like that they push faith. And I said, well, and this person, I thought, knew their Bible. And so I said, do you remember the Great Commission? And they go, no. And so I explained what it was. And I said, it literally says, when you give your life to the Lord, it is now your responsibility to share this with others. And so I said, what I think you're missing is that any believer that shares with you, they think it is their obligation because the Lord has been so kind to them. They want to offer that same thing to you. And if they truly believe that you are going to hell, if you don't accept that, isn't it really sweet that they're trying to talk to you about that?
Amen.
Stopped and they paused and they went, wow, I never thought about it like that. And I said, they're not trying to push you. They don't want you to miss what a beautiful gift it is. And so I do think that it's helping to make people more bold, and we don't have to be nasty. We also don't have to,
wasn't.
No. We don't have to apologize for what we do and say, like, what, when I'm sharing this with you, it's actually because I care. How rude would I be if I went, oh, I'm not going to share about the Lord with you. Right?
It's Christ's heart. Right. It's the love
yeah.
in Christ's heart that's in us. He implanted it in us.
And
then we share it.
They did it beautifully because there's one video, I'm sure there's many of them, but there was one that was someone who had transitioned and I think detransitioning and asked questions. And the first few questions, all he did was hold space for them. He said, how are you? Are you okay? How far down this road are you? Yeah. Not his actual answer. And that's what Jesus did. That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
One thing that I'm thinking is, as we're talking about this, is that the fact is that our young people, if the churches back, if we back up, because we've all been in our different churches, if we don't provide what is the truth, and what they're looking for as the truth, then they're going to find it from whomever. And that's why we have a group of these people that are following what's going on in New York and what's going on where else?
In Seattle,
South Carolina, and wherever. If we don't uphold our part of sharing Christ and letting them know what the truth is, and I'm talking about my two daughters who are Christians, but they have... I don't know who they're following, but every time they ask me if I'm praying for them, I said, you better believe it. I said, every second of the day, because I know what you're being exposed to. Mm-hmm. And so we need to make sure as Christians that if they come to us for questions, with questions, that we present them just like Charlie did. Truth mm-hmm. and in love. Because
in love, yes. Together, right. Together. Yes. They're not mutually exclusive.
Right.
Yeah, they go together.
I think that's interesting is if you don't get them into your church that you're going to on Sunday, Saturday night, whenever you go, at seventh or eighth grade, the odds of them becoming Christian down the road are very small.
Right. Falls off.
Yes.
Right. It diminishes like crazy.
See, sitting next to you in church.
Yeah.
Satan is so intelligent. He knows that if he can get the young people, he can get the world. So he's always gone for the young and the innocent. And we have seen this so much in our lifetime now. I've never seen such an attack on young people and this transitioning. I mean, this, it talk about diabolical. And I really feel that this started back, you mentioned the 50s and 60s, I think you did, Joe. And I remember when, say, the women's movement started back then, and it really began to separate men and women. And women were told, you don't need a man to have an identity. You should go out and compete with men in the world. And you should never have more children than you can should replace yourself, because the world can't take it. The world can't take it's overpopulation. It has been like this since I remember, and I really believe it. This has been Satan's plan to depopulate, because this is what's happened: transitioning, depopulation, LGBTQ plus depopulation, pitting men and women against each other, making them competitive instead of partners, depopulation.
Abortion. There you
Abortion.
go. Forgot that. Of course.
Transgenderism, I mean, medically, all the drugs, yeah, make you sterile.
And you go, where have we heard that story before? It's a Genesis. What was
was a
it?
little
Well,
book
that's a.
called.
Well, again, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, because Satan's ne is never, he doesn't have he doesn't have a new playbook. If you, from the very beginning, you attack marriage, and then once you attack marriage, if that doesn't work, you attack kids.
Right.
The whole idea is attack family and a depopulation. Yeah, one brother kills the next one.
Yes.
And then if violence continues on. It's the same playbook. So yeah, it's the same thing. I think it gets to a point where it intensifies at a certain point. And I would say if you go back historically, that sort of crescendo is because correlates to the weakness of the church. When the church stops doing what it's called to do and stop being out, in the public square, then this rises, Satan just rises up. And I go back to as God's sort of punishment, if you will, chastising the church for not being and doing I call you to do. If you do not spread forth the kingdom of God, if you do not present yourself in society in a way where the kingdom becomes relevant and part of the environment you live in, then evil will overtake you.
Of
And when
course
it
it will.
sees an when Satan sees an opportunity, he lashes out, and usually for the throat. From my perspective, you go back to passing Jeremiah, right? Everybody remembers. If my people will call by my name, what's amazing? But if you go back early in the chapter, he says that you're praying for the peace of the place you're living, right? They're slaves, and
It's
he
also
says, "Pray."
after 7 years. After
Say
7 years
again.
is in that
Yes.
chapter. Yes.
Yes. Pray for the peace of the city. Pray for the people. Why? Because if you are my people, you will go impact folk around you, and then the kingdom principles themselves will start lived out, being enjoyed by everybody. If you don't, Satan's. I'm gonna leave it alone. Sorry.
No,
No,
that's your honor. Oh, that's it. You know, it's your
that's
theme. I
exactly right.
love
It's
it.
exactly right. And a lot of kids don't even understand what Marxism is.
No.
They don't even know what they're hearing thrashed about,
No.
Nazi, fascist. They don't
No.
know that Karl Marx was a Satanist.
Yes.
And he is buried in London in the highest holy place in a cemetery with all Satanists. People don't realize this.
No.
They're not taught it.
No.
And
No.
you
They
keep
don't want to
people
hear it.
ignorant, and you can use them for anything.
Anything.
That's right.
Anything.
That's right.
Anything. Yeah.
That's it exactly. And that's
Sure.
what we're talking about, that a lot of these young, because when I look at birthdays, as I was doing church work and setting up profiles on our system, they were born like in 1985, 2000. Now they're 30 to 30 years old. And I was used to, entering older, like us, older, for the older birthdays. They don't know the history.
No.
And
It's
that's on purpose,
on
right, Melba?
purpose.
This
Yeah,
is
on
on
purpose.
purpose.
Yes.
This has
On
been
purpose.
a diabolical plan
Yes.
to take us down and also to make Christians not have children.
Yes.
And this is what Charlie Kirk was saying. He said, get married young, have children,
Have
have
lots
more
of
than you
children.
can afford.
Yes.
That's
Yes.
right. God bless it. Yeah.
And the thing is, look who's taking over in population.
Intentionally,
That's right.
purposely, lots of kids.
Exactly right.
And that
Yes.
is, yeah,
What's
that's
that?
the other
That
team.
heroic name.
Yes, absolutely. And
What's the famous name?
for the express purpose of eventually overtaking the country and
Well, that is
transforming.
the whole purpose.
Yes,
That
absolutely.
is the whole purpose. It's really amazing. And I know that you were going to say something here, Joe. But when you get the drone point of view, lots of times we look at the pebbles underneath our feet and we get irritated at what is getting us irritated that day. But if we back up and just see from the drone point of view, this huge plan that we're all playing a part of one way or the other.
Yes.
It's
Again, I
astounding.
go back. That's one of our why I'm a, my obsession with discipleship and trying to urge churches to, you need to be in the lives, intentionally in the lives of younger men or younger Christians, and at the same time develop a culture in the church where they feel an obligation or need to go out and do the same thing. If you do not do that we don't have a shot in the dark. It's just the darkness keeps coming in. And at the same time, if you do everything inside your doors, evil will continue to multiply and lock you in it, and
But
eventually
Robert,
attack you inside of it.
where did the churches lose their way? I've seen it happen at my church, and there have been mega pastors. It was a fabulous, fabulous church where some of our pastors went in and were the chaplain of the Senate. And I mean, I cannot tell you how profound two churches are that were right near me, and now they have just crumbled. Why?
Well,
What
again, I'll go
happened?
back to is that it's if you do not train people for the ministry, that is, we take it as somehow training people for inside the church. No, what Paul says, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. What's the work of the ministry? Is you out in your community, in your
Just what
job, in your
Stephanie
everywhere,
said, yes.
exactly, it's making disciples, teaching and training, and then at the same time, standing against this evil and the evil in the world and against sin. If
That
you
is the hard
do
thing, right?
that,
That's to be courageous and strong.
yes, exactly. And what happens is, again, the barbarians come and break in through the door. So back in the 70s, mid-70s, on the churches, literally in the midst of that whole chaos in the 60s and 70s, they just said withdrew from the main from the square and closed and went inside. So everything takes place inside the church. People aren't equipped to deal with outside. And now what you're dealing with is third generation of folk who are more accustomed to how I feel and what makes me happy. So Christianity is
That's a
about
real trick.
Jesus gets you, and he wants to make you happy. No, nothing about suffering, nothing about sin, nothing about impacting the world. It isn't there.
You go
So
to church to be happy, right, Ron? You go to church so
yeah.
they make you happy, right? Instead of going there and saying, "Whoa, that one hit me right between the eyes, Lord. What are you saying? I got you." Charlie Kirk
I'm
used to
out.
preach that one. Yeah.
Don't you think pastors have been afraid to offend? They're
Oh,
afraid to offend because they're seeing wallets walk out the door.
yeah. Nickels and noses, we call
Oh, okay. There you go.
There's a hymn to that, though. Tiptoe to the Tithers.
it.
That old song. Oh, that was Tulips. That's right. I'm sorry.
It's commercialism, right? I mean,
Yeah.
it's gotten old and not as pretty or whatever, and they, get hoarse. The churches are the same way. I get tired. I don't like the youth group there. I don't like the pastor. What's the parking lot right? How many bathrooms do you have? Getting fed anymore, right? I mean,
Yes.
you know what my favorite thing is about doing the ask for donations at the end, which is not my favorite, but I'm not the pastor, so I do it, is that I get to say the thing that I want to say right after. So I'm gonna share about how you can donate, and then I get to say what I want. So
Hey, go ahead, you got it, Steph.
which is bbsradio.com. Thank you, clever. / raising expectations. We already highlighted that you can find shows. There's Pastor Joe and Craig's book, but right there near the top, when you just scroll down a tiny bit, there's a few ways that you can donate. I know it's getting near end of year. You're looking at how to leverage your taxes, all of that. Consider donating to us. It's very, very helpful. It costs to put things on the air. No, it's not going to Ron. I think I'm putting it. It goes right back into the ministry. This is a labor of love for us. This is not an
Amen.
income for us. So we really appreciate what you're doing because exactly what we're talking about. We are working at being the hands and feet. So now I get to say what I want. I have been deeply studying the life of Jesus and trying to not have a filter of the church because I grew up in the church. And that's very hard for me because I was a felt board child. If you went to Sunday school, you got stories that way. But what I found really fascinating was Jesus, when you see his ministry start around 30, he gets baptized, he comes out of the water, and he has the Holy Spirit. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's a few different versions of that in the Gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then immediately he is taken into the wilderness for 40 days.
Right.
And he did. And so, Ron, you said something about like, oh, we're Christians and it's going to be this easy, whatever.
That
you
is
said
not.
That. But if you look at Jesus's life and his example, he immediately is tested. He is tested both in the physical with being stripped of food, and he is Ooh. Also tested in the spiritual because Satan is harassing him. Yeah. And when he comes out of that, immediately after, he goes and does the first miracle, which is water to wine at the wedding. So how could we expect that we would have any less than what Jesus has? You
That's
are
right.
going to be tested. As soon as you become a believer, you are on the radar of the enemy, and all he has to do is deceive you a tiny bit. He mostly tells a truth. Janet, you said he's so intelligent, and that is so true.
Exactly.
He's in the courts of heaven. He knows how God operates. He is no dummy. And so we have to be in our word. We have to be in community, and we need to get out of sort of this American or Westernized idea that I'm a believer and now my life is going to be easy. Oh no, my friend.
I have to just laugh at that.
Yeah. You're like, I'm going to be so easy. And you're like,
I saw, I saw.
You got 1 minute, Ron. I'm sorry. 1 minute.
Sorry.
Roland, go ahead.
All right. So I saw a group of Nigerians standing over a mass grave, some crying, but there were a couple of bold ones there. One of the things that one of the guys and one of the women quoted with there was John 15. It said, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first, right? If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And then they all declared that we are still standing for Christ. And if it means dying, we shall die. That's lost here. That's lost on us. And that idea that somehow they persecuted Jesus and won't persecute you. He suffered just, and we will suffer just like him if we're going to be like him. Sorry.
But we are supposed to rejoice in, and I know it's a two,
yes.
rejoice in the suffering. When we join in his sufferings, we rejoice in that.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, remember as a kid, when you hit your finger with a hammer, it sure hurt at first, but it sure felt good when it started to get better, didn't it? That's one way to look. Hey, good news, folks. I don't, medically speaking, you can save you one for that one there. Red Tank, we'll bring that next time. It's going to be hard. Thanksgiving's coming up. I have good news for you. Janet's going to be with us next week, and we're going to talk about Thanksgiving. But here's the deal. I just had the Lord lay this on my heart. Let's think about it. Ron's always headed in that direction. I love it when he brings those up. Steph, thanks to all of you. And thank you so much, Janet, for what you've shared tonight. We can't wait for next week. Let's be thinking as a family what we're thankful for in the form of difficulties we've come through. Difficulty we have come through that we are thankful that we're here this Thanksgiving. And with the first opening 2 hours, Steph gets it. No. we saw that look, Steph. Yeah. Janet, thanks so much for being with us.
I just love all of you. Thank you so much for inviting me. It is a privilege and a pleasure.
Oh, we're blessed to have you with us. Ron, love you, brother. And
thank you,
Paul,
guys.
Wherever you are tonight, we all love you. And Steph, it's going to be great. What are we thankful for? A difficulty we came through that this Thanksgiving we say, thank you, Lord, taking us through it. And then what we've learned from it. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in tonight. Steph, thanks for sharing about us tonight, too. And we just pray you have a great week. We pray that God takes you through every difficulty. He lifts you above them all and reminds you that his grace is sufficient. His strength is overpowering. And his love, oh my goodness, his love is so good. And it's just for you through his son, Jesus. Join us again next week. We'll see you there. Same time, same station. And TJ, thanks for engineering for us. We love you, buddy. We'll
Thank
see you,
buddy.
Folks.
Bye.
God bless you guys. All right.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.